And so I'm going to pray over this little lesson before we get started. Heavenly Father, pray once again. You just bless this here, Lord. This, as I teach this lesson, let it be edifying to your people and encouragement uplifting to them, Lord. As you know, I have this lesson about love ever on my heart, Lord. As I study it more and meditate, it just goes deeper and deeper. There's so many layers to your love, Lord. It just never ends. Pray just let it be a blessing, help, and encouragement to your little bride here. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. A few little testimonies here, preliminaries. I flew my middle two girls yesterday down to Lawrenceville. The airport there, only one that I know of around that's got a restaurant right there at the airport. You can literally taxi your plane right up to the restaurant, go in there and eat. We went in there and everything was fine. We flew back, flew up to 3,500 feet. Altitude kind of has an effect on people in different ways. I've never seen this happen, but we landed. Eula was complaining of terrible ear pain and earache, you know, didn't have it before. Went home and Gabby checked with a little scope thing, whatever you call that, the doctor's stick in your ear, you know, and she said there was a little blister, like a blood blister or something. Laid prayer cloth on her, laid hands on her, put her to bed, you know. Got up this morning, she was perfectly fine. Gabby checked, and there was no sign of a blood in that. Thankful for that. I call it a miracle. Just gone. So a little testimony about Iva. I don't know, she stayed in the hospital 4 days. Let's go along. Brother Bob's lesson last Sunday about that third day, because I just want to say that on the third day is when she started responding to that medicine. The third day, like you talked about, is when she started coming around. Doctor came in the room, grinning from ear to ear, saying, the medicine's working, it's doing its thing. And said, you can go home tomorrow. So on the fourth day, that's significant too. Remember my original testimony about Iva when she was born and nearly died at 3 days old, that on that fourth day, is when she started coming around. No different medicine that time, no different treatment at all that we know of, just the Lord touched her. Amen. And she started to raise up on Resurrection Sunday and started to come around. And but she's had many hospital stays. This was her fourth one that I can recall having to stay in the hospital for multiple days. And she knows when a nurse or doctor comes in the room, she says, you know, I'm going to be, no, she's going to be stuck, you're going to be prodded and poked and taking the MRIs and x-rays and EKGs and giving all kind of medicine she don't want to take and all these things. So if she cringes, you know, when a doctor or nurse comes in the room, she gets on edge. And she's very out of character. I was there visiting, I was still working, taking care of kids elsewhere, but visiting every night, Gabby and Iva there in the hospital in Atlanta. And I was just sitting there looking, she's still out of character. The nurse giving her a little, like a tourniquet, I think, a little rubber band thing. She's sitting there just slapping her legs with it, and just not happy at all, just like she's just, you remind me of Jesus biting that cord of ropes and the temple fixing chase out the money changer and all. She's going to attack a nurse with this thing. She just hates being there. And one day she sat up in the bed and she looked over at Mama and she says, when one of the nurses came in that didn't do any of that stuff, that didn't poke her, just came in to talk, she said, I like the nurses that just come in just to talk. So she hates all that stuff. But by God's grace, she got to come home and help them well. A couple of nights ago, she wanted to give her heart to the Lord.
There.
What's that, Wayne? See, the only kid that hadn't done that, that hadn't been baptized yet and hadn't got saved. And so we've been kind of talking to her along the way and just waiting for the Lord to deal with her. And the other night, she said, I want to be baptized. And I said, do you understand what it means? And so we started talking and prayed the sinner's prayer with her, led her to the Lord. And amen. She didn't get baptized, but she got that heart monitor. And they can't, it's not supposed to be submerged in water, so we got to wait, you know.
Yep.
A little bit longer. So another little preliminary, not, this is more pertaining to my lesson, and just an encouragement to everybody, just admonishing everybody, just to remind everybody to do this. I left a lot out of that little testimony too about Iva. Again, there's the numbers and there's the names of the nurses and all that. You know, I always look at those names. That we had another Caitlin, which if you don't know the name Kate, different forms of that name that we had in the first time around. That the name Kate means pure. I believe God works through doctors and nurses, whether they believe or not. I believe God and angels work through them.
Yeah,
to purify, amen. Purify people because they're dealing with mankind, God's most precious creation, and helping people and trying to help people. And so God works with them to purify and cleanse from disease. And here we have our first nurse in there was Caitlin, once again, that our first nurse practitioner is what was. Anyway, I'll leave out a lot of other details. Just I'm going to go on to this little other preliminary. This more ties into my lesson. As Brother Wade is our new pastor now, I want to remind everybody to encourage him. It's the hardest role of anybody on earth that I know of, even greater than the position of President of the United States. Nothing higher of a calling than to be a pastor in the church upon the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we need to stand behind him and Sister June, back them with all of our prayers.
Yes.
All the time, as you know, Gavin and I are constantly listening to the seals, Brother Del Preach in 82 and 83, and over all the many years, we've heard him say, Lord, bless our wife yonder. He's always saying, bless our wife. And I'm thinking, Brother Del, that's your wife, my brother. You know, bless our wife. And the Lord's always been attacking her and her body with sickness. Not because she's serving the Lord, but because the devil knows that's a weakness for a man. We want our wives and kids to be well, and we hate to see them down. And the devil just makes a playground out of them. I know Sister Jean's already been remedied with sickness and pain in her body just beyond what I can imagine. But we hold them up in prayer. And yes. Brother Wade, hold them up in prayer. Any encouragement, and anything you can do. Brother, I read them this message on, I am the resurrection and the life. So now, you got to have confidence in the house of judgment, the house of God, where God comes down, passes his judgment. Your pastor is supposed to be a righteous man. The congregation is supposed to be with him 100%. You're supposed to be just 100% together and in there. If you're not, Satan's got a way to get in. You've got a loophole somewhere. So everything cleared out. In Christ, the mystery of God revealed, love one another. This ties into my love lesson. Love one another. Above everything, love one another. Don't matter what the devil tries to say, you're all in one great, big, sweet group now. Remember, my warning. See, Satan won't let that stay that way. He'll shoot everything he's got to bring somebody to make this target and bring some critic or unbeliever in and sit him down, causing the fellowship to go into the quietness and things, and then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison. How'd he go? Skipping down the yellow part. And stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through. Because he's ordained of God to do so. Now, you remember that.
Yeah.
Enemy command, what it does is to cling that much closer together. Yes. And then one that the devil's using and the enemy leader to get out would come in and be one of you. Yeah. I call this Galatians 6:6, man to man. My dad in the Baptist church, he used to write emails to the pastor. And I took notice of that. And I thought, well, that's a good thing to do. And he tried to encourage the pastor and say, I like what you said here and here and here. So over many years now, our ministers that know that I write them letters or emails or comment to them in the parking lot, I always try to, because when I teach Sunday school, people just stare at me. I don't know if you're getting anything I'm saying or not. So I would like a little word of encouragement, you know, come to me and tell me what you got out of it, you know. And I thought, well, how much more would the man of God standing here as a pastor or actual preacher want to be encouraged and know that somebody getting what he's saying? So that's why I write these emails to our minister. And I call it 6-6 because man to man, because six is the number of man, Galatians 6:6, man to man talk. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So tell him what you got out of that sermon and encourage him in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, so Brother John's been teaching on this financial jubilee, and I don't know if y'all recognize, but he's talking about more than just finances. He's talking about jubilee from sin, from the debt of sin. Jubilee from bitterness and fear and torment and anxiety and sickness and lust and depression and all kind of things that tie into that lesson of jubilee. And it goes a lot deeper than just finances. He ain't talking about just money. And likewise, my love lessons are more than just about marriage and more than just about a walk with the Lord. It's about both sides. It's about, there's just layers and layers and layers of this that if you will let it, apply it to your life and do the little things I'm talking about, simple little things, it will change your marriage. I guarantee it will. It's affected ours. It's affected change in my and Gavin's marriage for sure. So this lesson is as much about marriage as it is about our relationship with the Lord. I've kind of not been transparent until now saying what I really mean, because we're in a 16-year marriage, and I'm talking to people who've been married longer than I've been alive. So I don't really feel like I have a place to say to any of y'all how to do marriage, you know. But I'm just saying, take it for what it's worth. If it'll help you, let it help. If not, you know, keep doing what you're doing. If what you're doing is working, no problem. But I want to be clear that aside from teaching about our love relationship, Lord, I'm teaching about marriage. You can't tell sometimes when marriages are struggling, but many are. This is the remedy. Christ living in you and your spouse, in your home, in your marriage. How? By reading, listening, and praying together daily to the Word of God. Remove self from marriage. The reason I don't have a crop of corn in my yard is because I have not planted one. And the reason maybe you don't have a good marriage is because you have not sown the seeds for it. This takes discipline. The reason you don't have a close walk with the Lord, maybe you haven't done the right things, but you haven't sown the seeds for it.
Yeah.
Gabby and I both spend much time together, but then separate too, listening to the sermons that are preached here from our ministers. I go back, of course, we listen to them over and over again as I drive the truck at night and during the day. And then Gabby stays up till about 2 in the morning almost every night. She's got to get up at 5 and get the kids ready for school, but for certain reasons, she can't sleep. Okay. I don't say why that is, but she's up and at night by herself because I'm on the road driving the truck. She's there by herself listening to these ministers over and over again. And what we're doing is packing the Word of God down that seed. We want to pack down, press down, running over so that God can come and quicken it. Because if you don't give anything to work with, you can't quicken the Word to you. It's not just magic. It is something that you have to do on your part.
Right.
Sow the Word of God down. Press it down good. Crop takes time and effort. So does our marriage, our walk with the Lord.
Yes.
This is from Jakarta Bible. They'll call it, I think it's called Life Bible now. They changed the name. Someone Gabby and I read from every day in our devotion together. And there's one of these little devotions in there that put every day, and this one was so good. It ties in perfect. A lesson. Western culture has shaped our minds to believe that the purpose of the institution of marriage is to make individuals happy. People tend to believe that marriage is about finding the right person, a person whose likes and dislikes, hobbies and interests match our own. We tend to believe it's about finding a person who completes us and makes us whole. And about right, it's what we in faith. This results in the me mindset in marriage. We can foolishly enter into a marriage relationship focused on what we think we will get out of it. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul tells us that marriage isn't about making ourselves happy. It's about making us holy. Marriage is a picture of how Jesus loves the church and gave himself a sacrifice for her. Ephesians 5. Marriage isn't about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. Both husband and wife are called to be the type of people who love unconditionally, forgive continually, and serve sacrificially. Just like Jesus, Paul calls us to enter into marriage with a ministry mindset. Marriage isn't about what you can get out of the relationship, but about what you can give to the relationship for God's glory. When you seek to demonstrate love in your marriage, when you are willing to lay down your life for your spouse and serve her sacrificially, the gospel is rehearsed daily in your household. Bottom line, marriage is about having a ministry mindset of loving service rather than selfish mindset. It's from Moment of Strength. That's a book that was done from Part Me. But this is a quote from a book called Strength and Inspiration for Men. So, Christ in marriage beyond the wedding day. So when people come to the altar, they get married and all this, there's all this sanctimonious ceremony. There's a preacher at the altar in a church with witnesses and a Bible and all this stuff. And they come down and they say, Lord, we want you in our marriage. And that's kind of in a way committing their life and dedicating their marriage to God. But what really matters is what they do when they go out there.
Yes.
After the wedding day, that's where Christ comes into marriage. If you put him in your marriage, you have to put him in there. There's something you have to do. It doesn't just happen because you got married at an altar by a preacher. Like salvation, you come to the altar, cry, pray, repent, and then go out there. What matters is what happens out there if you read your Bible and pray every day. That's what makes Christ in your life. So coming down to the altar to start your marriage here, it's good. It's a good start. But beyond the wedding day is what really matters. Putting Christ in your marriage every single day. Walk close with the Lord individually and with your spouse. Keep it fresh, as the saying goes. Never lose your first love. I'm going to talk in this lesson. The title of this lesson is First Love. Never lose your first love for Christ or your spouse. The Ohio group and the Honduras group have provoked us to godly jealousy by their enthusiasm about the Word of God. This should stimulate us and cause us to better appreciate the ministry we have. Be fervent. Don't take for granted the ministry and message we have. Remember that. Remove self from marriage. There should not be one mention of divorce or separation, and message marriages. We should be experts at love. I don't plan to be an expert, but I study it a lot, and I meditate on it a lot. Good old-fashioned thinking goes a long way. You know, God gave us a mind to think. Right. We can use it for him or use it for the devil. And if we just meditate on the word of God and meditate and say, Lord, really, what direction we have been going in life? You don't know how much I fasted and prayed and sought God for a wife and how much I just thought about it. What would make me a good wife? And I would just sit down and think, well, I want somebody to hold the Ghost filled. I want somebody to read the Bible and pray with me. I want somebody to come to church with me and just believe the word of God with me. And that's what we've had the whole time. And we've read the Bible every day since before we got engaged, you know, together. And that's important. It is so key. And yeah, we had troubles, okay, early on in our marriage. We're not talking divorce, but Gabby, a time or two, wanted to leave me for my bad attitude and go to Kentucky, take a break for a little while and get away from me for a little while. And I said, thanks, but we got to do something. Something ain't right. And it was in 2018, oddly enough, through death in the family, came this revelation that my mother-in-law passed away and my father-in-law said to me, Riley, when Sharon passed away, I want you to know this. We had the type of relationship that we're always looking out for each other. We weren't in it for ourselves. He said, I would sneak around behind her back and get her a new phone or something she wanted that she wouldn't buy for herself. He said, she'd go around behind my back and give me that fishing pole that I wanted that I wouldn't buy for myself. And I thought, wow. I've been looking at marriage all wrong. And that was an eye-opener. That simple little revelation from there spawned all this great big revelation to me that's just been unfolding, that selflessness is so key in marriage and not thinking of yourself. Where is there any grounds for argument, for problems, if all you're thinking about is the other person? You know, if all you're thinking about is how you can please him, please or her, please your spouse, where's the grounds for argument?
Yeah.
You know? Our kids almost never see any kind of arguments in our home. It's just, well, we fuss at the kids a lot. There's a lot of that going on. There's any shouting going on to the kids. Between me and Gabby, no. I love her to death. And she'll point out my wrongs. And I said, well, you're right. You're exactly right. I need to quit making so many sweets. I'm going to make us all, you know, sick sugar. Anyway, but 1 Corinthians 7, I would have you on without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. So if you abstain from marriage in the first place, you know, you can commit your life to the Lord. He's saying, but if you're in a marriage, you are supposed to. He's not saying anything wrong with a man caring for his wife and trying to please her and do this to her. He didn't say it's wrong to do that. It's just going to be a distraction from the Lord. But if you better to marry than to burn. You know, he said that in another place. Same thing, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things that the Lord has to make, be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Nothing wrong with it. He didn't say anything wrong. It's just going to be a distraction from the Lord. But, you know, you keep committing your life to God. But try to please your husband and your wife. Do things for them, not for your own self. It's not what marriage is about. Because I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you for that which is comely, that you may tend upon the Lord without distraction. And let me read some of my notes here, make sure I'm not leaving something out. Anything? So, God keeps his word. Brother Graham says, so children, back to your God quickly. Don't tangle with the world for anything. Stay out of this modern world. Stay out of these modern theologies. Just look at the Lamb of God. Read your Bible and pray all the time. He didn't say just read your Bible and pray. There's some places where he did say, you know, go close to the Lord. Read about and pray, but there's one place where he said do it every day, and there's one place here where he says all the time, don't be weary, be rejoicing and happy for the redemption of the church is drawing nigh. We shall see him who died for us. You remember Brother Zach Black, Brother Branham talking about at some place, he's talking about in one message, he talked about drinking more than your portion, you know, drink and push out. And we have to drink enough to sustain our spiritual life, drink enough of the word of God, but then drink more than enough to let us bear fruit and drink more than enough to let it, you know, be a blessing to others around us. So just keep drinking and drinking and drinking. And, you know, we might say, like Brother Zach Black's dream after getting born again, getting into university, he came up here and testified of a dream that he had where he was eating. He looked down, he was not getting full, and he kept eating. He was still not getting full, so he just kept eating. And I believe the point of the dream was, after you get born again, you're a babe in Christ, you need to eat. Well, really, when you're 20 years in the way of serving the Lord, you still need to eat.
Right.
Keep eating and pushing out. I talk a lot about studying, seeking God, drinking the Word of God, but is it possible to drink too much? If it is, I'd say we don't fall in that category, so let's don't worry about it. And most of us, I could say, we need to drink more or eat more of the Word of God. Don't worry about doing too much. I think we're away from that. It's kind of like the fish in the ocean, worried about drinking too much. Perhaps we might think it best not to study too much. We need to drink more than our portion. In other words, enough to satisfy us and sustain our life to be overflowing and bear fruit to God. Establish your first love with the Lord and maintain your first love with the Lord. So we come here, you know, everybody likes to teach the doctrine. And some people say we came of the mole seed in us and that kind of thing. And Brother Bannon said, a non-seed is nothing to quicken. By our natural birth, we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We came with that non-seed. And we came with lots of false ideas. And this is what we came there with. And by the new birth, we receive the word of God, eternal life. And we start on this first love. We start on this first love with the Lord. If you remember when you first gave our Lord, how you were so on fire and how you just loved, fell in love with the Lord. I remember back still in the Baptist church when I first gave my heart to the Lord, and I was listening to worship songs like I still do now, and felt such a strong love for the Lord. And I still do. And that will still stay fresh as long as you keep reading the word of God and keep praying. Never let that die. And same thing in your marriage. When I fell in love with Gabby, I felt this strong affection for her. But now it's infinitely stronger than that, only because I've kept stayed in this room. I won't get to it. This room of in one of these devotions, labor and lesson, I quote this staying in the devotional, this appreciation rooms, what you call it, the room of appreciation, where you don't think about all the bad things of your spouse. Think about all the good things. And think about all the good things of God. There is nothing bad about God to think about, really. Gabby and I read also Spurgeon every day on Crucifies. You know, we read a lot of other devotions and up from other people that are not message folk. A lot of blessings to be had in that. And reading from other Charles Spurgeon. We have volumes of books of his from my grandma when she passed. She looked at these books. This is from his sermon declension from First Love, a sermon delivered on the Sabbath Eagle, September 26, 1858, Charles Spurgeon at the New Park Street Chapel. He quotes Revelation 2, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." He said, if we, down at the yellow, I'll just read the whole thing. We shall never love Christ much except we live near to him. Love to Christ is dependent on our nearness to him. Just like planets in the sun, why are some planets cold? Why did they move so slow at a slow rate? Simply because they're so far from the sun. But the mother planet Mercury is, and they shall be in a boiling heat and spin around the sun in rapid orbits. So, beloved, if we live near to Christ, we cannot help loving him. The heart that is near Jesus must be full of his love. But when we live days and weeks and months without personal prayer, without real fellowship, how can we maintain love toward a stranger? He must be a friend, and we must stick close to him as he sticks close to us, closer than a brother, or else we shall never have our first love. There's a thousand reasons why I might give, but I leave each of you to search your heart to find out why thou hast lost each of you your first love. Really fall in love with the Lord first. Brother Brandon from Jehovah Jireh, number 3, says that's why. The way it is with God, we're not trying to study from some newspaper standpoint, some theological standpoint, but fall in love with him. Get down and really get him in your heart. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Then go to reading the Bible and you'll see it coming right out between the lines. So you know what he's saying. He never said that right out in the word. Jesus thanked the Father because he had hid those things from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No one else could read my wife's letters like that because I love her the way that way. And that's the way she writes to me. And see, that's the way God writes to you. It's between the lines. You can have that first love always. If you do what I'm talking about, read the Bible, pray every day, and spend every moment you can with the Lord of God. You don't have to let it diminish. If our musicians come, I'll try to read maybe one more quote here. Musicians go and come. So listen first, you've got to be born again in the Spirit of God. And then if you're not, you'll never understand the word of God. God has said so. God said, I have hid this Bible from the wise and prudent and will reveal it to babes such as beings. If you want anything from God, TFAD, open up the Bible to fall in love with you. Never get to the point where you're, well, I'm 25 years, I'm actually a believer. I've been Christian for 30, 40 years. I understand the word. I've read the Bible so many times, you know. You never reach an end to the term word of God as he comes over. There are some books, Christ and Misery, I think I read 8 times. I write in the back of the week, every summer book I finish with a date. And there's someone that I, some words are written in the I read 80, 90 times. I'm never planning to stop reading that, that's for sure. I'll read. All the time, I think, reading God, find more all the time. I listen, I'm into it. Just saying the word. God, I'm feeling it. I'm being the Bible, praying. And you know, that are married and the Lord, thank God for your marriage. You know, submit to God and read about and pray together or talk about the Lord together. However, you choose to put Christ in marriage, put him in your marriage. God bless. God bless
you. God's way, Pete. Amen.
Fantastic.
Are we with me?